I know years ago when this church wasn't built yet and we were renting in Tewksbury, I used to come as a visitor because I wasn't a member yet. And there were times when I, you know, Saturday morning I get up and I say, oh, you know I should go to church, but I don't feel like going, and I wouldn't come at all. And there were even times when I would get in my car and drive, and I would find that I say, oh, I don't even have my Bible. You know, I can't go to church without a Bible. And I would just turn around and go back home. And it came to a point when I said, you know, the reason that I feel like I want to go to church is because God is calling me. It's an invitation to us. Well, it was an invitation to me that God wanted me to go there. And then when I started to see things that way, you know, excuses or lateness or whatever, you know, it didn't bother me anymore, because I know that coming to church was my way of saying yes to the Holy Spirit asking me. And I'm glad that today nothing stopped you from coming here. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for all your goodness. I want to thank you because throughout the year, one way or another, you have watched over us and you have walked with us throughout this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, hopefully, this is probably the second time that I use the PowerPoint, so hopefully it'll work. Come on, Phil, don't bring me luck. You know, when I bought this computer, I also brought this. And for you, those who can't see it, it's a flash drive. And then later on, I bought this because I got tired of pressing the return key. So with this, I can do this far away. And I noticed that in my way of making decisions, maybe it's the same way with you. But in my decision making, I noticed that there's three things. Phases that I do it. First, I do it because, well, not first, but one of the reasons is because of the cost. You know, I look to see, you know, based on how much it costs, like, do I buy it or I don't buy it? And the other is emotional aspect. Well, maybe I need this, maybe I don't. You know, so that's another way that we make decisions. But, and then there's another way that we make decisions is spiritually. You know, is this good for me spiritually? Maybe it's going to cost me more. Maybe I don't want to do it, but will it be good for me spiritually? So that's another way that I learned that I make my decisions. And then I found along the way that when I first got the computer and the flash drive, I was thinking, you know, if somebody asked me for it, I'll say, take my flash drive because it only costs so little. Please don't take my computer. But then something happened along the way. See, because on this flash drive, it only cost me like $15, so it's not really, doesn't really cost a lot, you know. But along the way now, see, because in here, all my studies from school, my tests, and they're stored in here. The sermons that I've given throughout the years is stored in here. You know, there's a lot of things that I have in here that now is like, take my computer, but leave my flash drive. You know, and I noticed that maybe that's the way it is in our lives. You know, when we first come to know Jesus, you know, we really don't have a lot of Jesus in us. But throughout the years, throughout the weeks, time goes by and there's more of Jesus in our hearts. You know, and now the things that, you know, this once was, it wasn't that valuable to me. It only cost $15, but now is everything that's stored in here, now is, you know, like that commercial, priceless. And, and sometimes I wonder, could it be like that in our lives? It is lots of times, right? When we meet somebody, you know, that's new, you know, in the beginning, you know, we tend to say hi or bye, but as we get to know that person through the years, you know, that person becomes precious and valuable. That, you know, that we were willing to do things that ordinarily we wouldn't have done in the beginning. And I wonder, could it be like that too with Jesus? Could it be like that too, that in the beginning when we first get to know Him, you know, we're not willing to do things for Him because maybe it's going to cost me, or maybe because it's too hard, or maybe because I really don't want to do it? But throughout the years, as we see how God is faithful in our lives, as we see how we can trust Him, you know, then it becomes, you know, God, those things that I thought were valuable to me, they're not that valuable anymore because now I treasure something else. And I want to see if this works. I want to repeat this after me. Oh, here you go. See, salvation is free, right? Right?
Amen.
Doesn't cost you anything. It costs something, but we didn't pay for it. Now, sometimes when I think about the cost that Jesus had to pay, you know, sometimes we can lose our houses. Oh, that's replaceable. We can lose our jobs. Oh, that's replaceable. You know, and then, I don't want to get stoned over here, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we may lose our spouse. And then many times, not that they're replaceable, but many times we do get remarried. But do you know that when Jesus came down here, something was at stake that was not replaceable? See, because Jesus is part of the Trinity. Now, if Jesus, when He came down here, if He were to fail in His mission, the Trinity would cease to exist. You know, you can't replace a God. You know, if you can replace a God, He would stop being a God. So, you know, that's something that Jesus put at stake, His Godhood. You know, that relationship that He had from all time. You know, something that I can't understand because, you know, I can understand the beginning and I can understand an end, but to know that there is no beginning, that there is no end, that in when the sphere of those three individuals, they've never known the beginning or end, and Jesus risked that. So you can have this. You know, and it's like, wow, amazing. So I know that salvation is free to us, but it did cost something. Right? It cost us nothing. And maybe that sometimes that we maybe take it for granted. Because, you know, I tend to do that sometimes. You know, something that cost me a few pennies or 50 cents or a dollar, you know, is kind, I treat it kind of different than something that cost me $500 or $1,000. You know, but maybe sometimes in our salvation with Christ, it cost us nothing. Well, maybe it cost us nothing. But you know, but when we follow Christ, it's going to cost us something. I've known that throughout the years in my Christian, you know, walk with God. You know, sometimes walking with God is hard. It's not easy. And sometimes, you know, just doing, you know, things that I want to do and say, you know, God, I don't feel like doing this right now, but I know that God is speaking in my heart, and, you know, sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's hard just taking that step when you don't even know where it's going to land. When things are so dark that you say, you know, God, I can't see not even what's in front of me. And you know that Jesus is saying, yeah, but just take that walk. Just take that step. And, you know, it's kind of hard to do. So we know that salvation is free. You know, it costs us nothing, but following Christ will cost us something. You know, and sometimes those things that we want to hold on to, you know, some things, what it is, maybe it's a job, or maybe it's that house that you lived on for 15, 20, 30 years, and you have so much memory there, and God's asking you, you know, I want you to sell this, or I want you to move from here. You know, sometimes I don't understand how Denise and Phil do it. You know, they come to a church, they build relationships and friends, and maybe buy a house, and they're there for 5, 6 years, and all of a sudden, God calls them somewhere else, and they have to uproot and leave friends behind and relationships that they formed. And, you know, I know that that'd be hard for me to do, but, you know, that's something that Abraham did, right? And that's something that we might be called to do. And, you know, sometimes we, those things that we hold on to dear life, and, you know, we don't want to give them up. And God's asking us that to give it up. And sometimes we feel, you know, if I hold on to it, God can't touch me. God can't take it away from me if I hold on to it. And, you know, if He couldn't take it away from you, then He wouldn't be God. You know, and those things that God, you know, and I think this is where we can get confused sometimes. Sometimes we get confused at the value of the things that we're holding. You know, sometimes maybe that's where we get confused, and we come to a life that is not what we're holding, is who's asking. Who's asking? And today, and I want us to look in our Bibles, because there's a story that I know that you guys have read it for so a lot, and you may even know it by heart. But I want to go over on that story, because I think it displays, maybe that's not the word I want to say, but it tells us, you know, how God will ask us to do things, and sometimes we have to walk in faith. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read from 1 to 11, and then we'll just go over it quickly. And it says here, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and it says, "So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked them to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes." You know, sometimes Jesus will do that for our lives. See what he said? He saw the boat and he got on. You know, Jesus can do that. He can come into your house. He can come into your car. He could come into your life. And sometimes we don't even know that Jesus is doing that. I mean, did Peter really knew that Jesus, the Son of God, was in his boat? You know, I really don't think. Because as we read further, we're going to find out that he didn't really realize who was in his boat. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we don't realize that we're in the presence of God, or that God is in our midst. And if we're not attentive, we may lose that opportunity to experience God at that precise point. And that's verse 4, and it says, "And he stopped, and when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, I've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net.'" See, let me tell you something about fishing in those times. You know, they fished in boats. They used nets. They used fishing rods. And then when they were done, they will come back, take out the nets, stretch them out, dry them, roll them up, put them back in the boat, and they will go home. And Peter, I can imagine Peter, he goes, his fishing's all done, and he didn't catch anything. He was ready to go home, and here's Jesus asking him, "Peter, let's go fishing." And I can see Peter, yeah, you know, carpenter. Because everybody knows that you don't fish during the day. We'll fish at night. But, you know, something that Peter said, he said, you know, "But I'll do it anyways." See, and I think it's in that moment of time when, you know, when we stop thinking rationally, I think. And we say, you know, I've never done it this way. Well, maybe this is not the way that I'm used to doing it. Or maybe, you know, that's not the way I was taught to do it. But because you say so, I will do what you ask. You know, and that's what happened with Peter. At that moment, doubts came into his mind. And I know that happens to me a lot. When I'm asked to do something that I really don't want to do, we do what Peter did. He gave Jesus information. You know, Jesus is, you know, it's daytime. You know, my boat is already docked. You know, maybe we do that sometimes. You go, you know, when Jesus is asking us to do something, but Jesus, you know, I'm not really ready. Oh, Jesus, I don't have experience. Oh, you know, Jesus, you know, can we do this another time? But, you know,
You know what we do when we're doing that? In other words, we're saying, Jesus, I know more than you. Because I know when I can do things, I know when I can't. So therefore, let me do it on my terms. You know, the Israelites said that to God one time. Remember when they were in the wilderness? And there, Jesus and God told them, cross over to the promised land. And you know, they came up with excuses. Oh, there are giants over there. Oh, we were not prepared. But you know, there's something that they forgot that we don't, right? Because we know it's not by strength. It's not by might. It's by the God's Spirit. So in the Bible, God tells you that whatever He asks you to do, He's promised you that He'll give you the strength, the knowledge, whatever you need. But He won't give it to you right there. You know, we have to take that step and walk. And that's what Peter that's what happened with Peter. He said, you know, Jesus, because you asked me, then I'm willing to do it. And look what happened. It says that when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking. See what happens? You know, Peter thought that fishing was only for nighttime. But you know what? Fishing is whenever God asks you to do it. Okay? That's when it is. The right time is not tomorrow, wasn't yesterday, is when God asks you. Isn't it? See, because that's when miracles happen. See, because when our little bitty faith meets God's will and power, you know, that's like, wow. And that's what happened to Peter. Look what happened. Look what happened to Peter is that way. It says that, you know, verse 7, it says they signaled to the other partners in the other boat, and they came out to them, and they came and filled the boat with, you know, they filled both boats. You know, it was so heavy that it started to sink. And this is what happens with Peter. It says here, Peter fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am sinful. You know, did that miracle make Peter sinful? No, he was sinful all along. See, and I noticed that in my walk with life, with God, is the closer I get to God, the closer He asks me to do things that I really don't want to do. And then when I do it, it's like we get closer together. And you know that God is light. And the closer we get to God, the lighter things become. We can see things more clearly. And then sometimes we see ourselves, you know, all full of sin. And things that, you know, maybe there's some things, you know, I know that sometimes in my life there are things that I've dealt with years ago, and I thought, oh, okay, I'm done with that. And Jesus says, no, because you got to go a little bit deeper. You know, we scratched the surface, now we got to take out the roots of it. You know, and that's what I've, maybe the same thing happens to you in your life. And, you know, sometimes when we hit one of these speed bumps and I walk with God and, you know, we have something to say. You know, but at the end of things, at the end, we say, you know, God, it's because you say so that I'll do things. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I know that a couple of months ago when I was speaking here, I told you about a friend of mine that two guys were interested in her, and I told her to run towards Jesus. And she did that, and the guy who she married lived in Tennessee. Well, she lived in Massachusetts. So I guess there's a choice they had to make. Not only that, you know, her job, you know, she was a mortgage consultant, and she made in the six figures. You know, so if she moved to Tennessee to be with the man, that person who she felt God told her to be, she would have to move, give up her job, because, you know, mortgage consulting, this one was like a business, and like start all over. It's a big move. And I ask her, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And she tells me, she said, you know, Michael, my spiritual life in Massachusetts is not what I want it to be. You know, my kids, they struggle to go to church, and sometimes I don't want to go to church. So my decision has to be, can't be based on money, because if it's going to be on money, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to give up my six-figure job that I worked so long to, you know, and it can't be, it's because, and it can't be on my emotional basis, because moving down there, I don't, really don't want to move there and uproot my children, but I have to do it on my spiritual level because I know it's going to be good for me. I know it's going to be good for me. And that happened 5 years ago, and I called, and I, you know, we talked on a regular basis, and I was talking to her a couple of months ago, and she was telling me, you know, how changed her life has begun. You know, her kids now, you know, they do worship service in the morning and at nighttime. She says things that she never felt like doing. Her kids now, they fought her to go. She had two kids, and they were I think, 8 and 12. She had two, and they didn't want to go. They didn't want to make no friends. And more important, in Massachusetts, they didn't want to go to church either. She tells me it's all different now. Now they're the ones who are taking her to church because they want to. And now it's like there was a mission trip that I think was back in March in El Salvador. You know, she went down there and she started, and she said she preached for the 2 whole weeks. You know, and these are changes, you know, that, you know, if I asked her, did you see yourself doing these things 5 years ago? No. You know, financially, she took a big hit. You know, she gave up a six-figure, you know, job to go start all over. Emotionally, it was difficult moving her kids, but she did it because she knows spiritually it was the best thing. You know, now she tells me that, she goes, you know, my long-term goals is that, you know, when the kids are all grown up, sell the house and become missionary, because she just loves sharing God's message. And isn't that what Jesus told Peter? Now I will make you fishermen. I'll make you fishermen of men. You know, and that's the goal that God wants for us. You know, one of the persons that I know that knew how to fish for souls. He passed away, like, I think, 3 years ago. Was it Carl? Mariano Rivera? About 3 years ago. Now, the name that I mentioned, you guys don't know him, but you know the fish that he's caught. Because when I was 9 or 10 years old, he caught me. Okay? Oh, do you know also Gloria Candelario? Oh, one of the fishes he caught. Oh, you know Carl over there. Okay. Oh, and you know the Conleys? Well, Natalie's mom was one of the fishes. And I asked, you know, did he would know that? That his little job, his job that he did with me, you know, was one of the motivations that kept me. That's why Pathfinders, Juniors, that's why I get involved with them, because when I was small, somebody got involved with me. And when a couple of years ago, when Carl told me that he was in the hospital, you know, I rushed to see him. You know, and that was the last time that I saw him. And I remember that he only asked me one question. He didn't ask me if I was married. He didn't ask me what kind of job I was doing. All he asked me is, how's your relationship with God? That's all he asked me. You know, and that's something that I'll always treasure in my mind. You know, there are things. This is Christmas. Okay, let me see. What's in this? Okay. You know that God will take full responsibility. Not partial. But full responsibility for the life that is totally yielded to Him. You know that, right? You know what the Bible, I don't have my Bible with me, but you know what the Bible is? It's just a record of God in action. It's a history of God will do to people when they trust Him. But it's also a record of what happens to people who don't trust Him. Isn't it? You know, this is Christmas time, and God wants to give you some gifts. Not just for Christmas, and these things, He doesn't want. I know that God wants to give us eternal life, and we don't have eternal life right now, you know, because we, you know, Unfortunately, that's going to happen when Jesus comes. But right now, he wants to give you five things. And I know my time's running out, but I'm going to quickly go over this. Let's see if it works. Well, the first thing he wants to give you, he wants to forgive your sins. Okay? He wants to do that for you. I know there are times, you know, when we think about things and we say, you know, if I can go back in time, okay, I erase things. You know, but this is what God would do. In Isaiah 1:18, this is what he said. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Right? Though they are red like crimson, they'll become wool. Like wool. You know, right now we see something pretty soon. We haven't seen it yet, but we know it's coming. You know, that white deer. The snow is going to come. And you know, sometimes when I look out my window, freshly fell snow on the trees, on the lawn, it looks beautiful. God can do that to your sins. He says no matter how red they are, he can turn them white. Well, you know, there's another gift that he wants to give us. You know, and let me take another minute on this. You know, forgiveness. You know, do you know there's two washings in the Bible? Two kinds of washings. The first one is Jesus when he washed his disciples' feet. You know what Jesus said? I want you to do that. I want you to wash other people's feet. But there's another kind of washing, and that was Pilate, huh? When he washed his hands. Do we do sometimes do that? Instead of washing somebody's feet, we kind of wash our hands and we say, you know, this is not for me. But you know what I notice is when we wash somebody else's feet, guess what we're doing at the same time? We're washing our hands, isn't it? Oh. Another gift that Jesus wants to give us, he wants to give us peace. Right? In John 14:27, he says, peace I give you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it to you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You know, it's some kind of peace when we know that we can come to God and we know we're okay with him. We know there's a peace that happens when we know that we're okay with God and we're okay with somebody else. And God wants to give to you, not tomorrow. He wants to give it to you now. But only if we come to him. There's another gift that he wants to give us, and it's rest. Right? And it says on John here, on Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you guys tired? You guys exhausted? Emotionally drained? But Jesus says, listen, come to me. You know, because when we have forgiveness, when we know that we're okay with God, you know, we have peace. And when we have peace, naturally the next thing we can follow. Have you ever had a hard time falling asleep? You know why? Because somewhere you don't have peace. Maybe you're worrying about a problem or you're worrying about this. And we toss back and forth in bed because we don't have rest. But Jesus says, I can give you rest. Because I can give you peace. And it's another gift that God, Jesus wants to give to you. He wants to give you abundant life, right? And he says here, John 10:10, he says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it and abundantly. You know one of the major causes of people dying early? Lack of sleep. Lack of sleep. You guys don't sleep enough. You know what happens when you don't have enough rest? Through the years, stress develops. You get a lot of illness here. You know, may even lead to a heart attack. And all began because lack of rest. And you know, we can't have abundant life. You cannot enjoy your life if you don't have peace. You can't have rest either. But God says, you know, I'll give you all that. I'll forgive your sins. I'll give you peace so you can have rest. And then I'll show you how to really enjoy life. You know, God will open many doors for you. He might even close doors. But there's a door that only you can open. And it says here, wrong one. Right? Here's Jesus knocking. You feel Jesus knocking your hearts today, this morning. You know, Jesus says he's constantly looking for us. And that's why you're here. You know, you're not here because you wanted to come here. You're here because the Holy Spirit put in your hearts to be here. And that was Jesus knocking you. And he says, here, right? Look, I've been standing at the door and I'm constantly knocking. If you anybody hears me, and he says, open the door. Now, Jesus won't come into your life unless you invite him. The thief will do that. The thief comes unannounced. He'll go through your window, to your chimney, wherever. But it's not Jesus. Jesus will only come to you if you allow him to come. You know what happens if you do that? He goes, you have fellowship with you. You know, because in the all, in through all things, you know, the reason God forgives your sin, the reason he gives you peace, the reason he gives you rest, and the reason he gives you abundant life is because he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to get, he wants, not that he wants to get to know you, he wants you to get to know him. Because really, that's the problem. You know, sometimes, you know, I was talking to my friend the other day, and she said, you know, sometimes I feel that God is so far away. And I tell her, no, it's you that is far away. Right? It's you. Because God never moved. You know, if you feel there's a distance between you and God, then we better look at who's the one that's doing the moving. You know, God takes full responsibility for a life that's totally yielded to him. And it's my wish and desire that you guys will yield your life, your decisions, and put them in the hands of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, because you have been so good for us, to us. You give us things that sometimes we don't even realize that we need them. But I thank that you're the one who's in charge of our lives. And I know that whatever you begin, that you will continue it until it's finished. In Jesus Christ, amen.